Today's shiur is Masechet Ksubos Daf Chavav. We will begin on Daf Chav Hey Amud Beis, 10 lines from the bottom. Rebbe Reb Chia. Our Gemara continues to discuss, as we have been learning, how we decide the status of a person as being a Kohen or as being a Levi. Says the Gemara, Rebbe Reb Chia. There were rulings given by Rebbe Reb Chia. One was a situation of Chad Hela Ben Api Aviv Lekuhuna. One was a situation where a father testified that the son was a Kohen, and based on that he was decided to be a Kohen. V'chad, and one was a situation of Hela Ach Api Achiv Lelevia, where there were two brothers, and based on the testimony of one brother, the other brother was determined to be a Levi. And as we will now start to learn the Gemara, what Chazal understood in understanding this two incidents, where one situation happened exclusively with Rebbe, one situation happened with Reb Chia, and we just don't know which episode happened with whom. But they did know that only one episode happened with each one of these Tanoim. It's obvious, as we will begin to learn the sugya, the concern here is that it's a father, it's a brother, and kroivim, relatives, cannot say edus. However, as the Rishonim also explain, the situation under discussion was that the father came himself to say edus, and that the brother came himself to say edus. And the concern is because they were relatives and a karev is possible to say edus. Ask the Mefarshim that even though, as we do know, the halacha is that a karev, a relative, is possible to say edus, that's when we need two edim. In a normal situation, as the Torah tells us, a pishnei edim yokim dover, and when two edim are required, those two edim are not allowed to be relatives. However, in a situation where only one relative is required, there a halacha is, one aid is required, in the situation of an aid echod, there that one aid could be a relative. Ask the Mefarshim, obviously we're referring here to such a situation, because our Gemara is referring to a situation of the only problem being the relation. But when the halacha is that aid echod is neman, ask the Mefarshim, the halacha is that one aid is allowed to be a relative. So why is there a problem, father, brother? So the Mefarshim explain that one explanation I saw given by the Mefarshim is that since we're referring here to a situation of kahuna, and for kahuna we are more machmer, and therefore even though normally when the halacha is an aid echod is believed, that one aid could be a relative, by kahuna, we're more machm. Another explanation I saw given is that this is not a pure situation of just isurim, that we should say eid echad nem bisurim. There is a factor of mominus here, because if this person that's under discussion will be identified as a kohen or as a levi, so he will be entitled to truma or to maaser rishon. So there'll be a larger pool of individuals eating the truma and maisa. So therefore, it has somewhat of a relationship to the din mamonis, and therefore, the eid echod, even if we're going to believe in eid echod, it can't be a relative. Another pshat that I saw from the Shari Yosha is a very Rav Shimon Shkop is a very nice pshat. He explains as follows. As we have been learning, and as will become clear in the Gemara that we learn soon, there are two parts, or the two consequences of such a testimony. One is regarding truma, where normally we would have the halacha of eid echad nami b'yisurim, and that eid echad may even be a relative. And there's another element of yachsin, of determining that this individual is a full-fledged kohen. Says Rav Shimon Shkop, Chazal said that any person who's disqualified to be one of the two Edim for Yochsin, and their father, obviously, according to this understanding, would be disqualified because he's a relative, Chazal said even for places where Eid Echot, or even for Halacha, where Eid Echot is trusted, and there normally an Eid Echot could be a relative, here we won't even let a relative be the Eid Echot, for the concern that we may come to rely on him even for where two Eidim are required, where their relative is possible. The Rishonim ask another question. There's a pasuk in Parashas Kisei. The pasuk discusses Kisei Lishtei Anoshim Ahachas Ahuva V'Achas Snua. If a man has two wives, one whom he loves and one he hates, and he has children, V'Hoya Bera B'Chol L'Sniya, and his B'Chor is the son of the wife whom he dislikes, still, since he's the B'Chor, his B'Chor Yaker Losses Le'Pnei Shnayim. He has to give the Bechor, no matter who he is the Bechor. And the word Yaker is taught to teach us a halakha concept of Yaker. That a father is trusted to say, B'nize Bechorhu. The father has a number of children. How do we know who is the Bechor? The father, the Torah gave the father the mnemonis to identify whom is the Bechor. So if so, that the Torah gave a father that mnemonis, so why over here does the father not have that mnemonis? So most Rishonim, and the Tzais discusses this at length, explain that when does the father have this mnemonis? When we know for sure that this is the father's son. The only question is he a Bechor or not? So there the Torah said the father could identify which of his sons is the Bechor. But our Gemara, they explain, is referring to a situation where we don't even know for sure that this is his son. And therefore, we cannot rely on the father's testimony. And as Rav Shimon Shkop explains, because Yaakov only gives the father the mnemonis for one halacha. Here, Yaakov is going to give him a double mnemonis. A mnemonis that it's his son, and then to identify that he's a kosher kohen. That much power Yaker does not give. Another explanation that I saw for an Naftali Trop is that what does Yaker say? Yaker gives the father the mnemonis, but the mnemonis that Yaker gives to a father are only regarding issues that are solely relevant between the father-son relationship. If, however, there will be anybody else involved, then there is no Yaker. So regarding Bechayra, which means Yerusha, which is the pasuk that the Torah speaks about, there it's specifically an issue that relates only between the father and the son, because Yerusha depends on a father-son relationship. However, regarding Kahuna, which is not only dependent on the father, yes, it is dependent on the father. One cannot be a kohen if his father is not a kohen. But it also is somewhat dependent on the mother, because we know if the mother was a woman who is not allowed to marry a kohen, then the halacha is that that child is a cholol. He's not considered a kosher kohen. There is no din of yaker. There, the Torah did not give the father pure nemonis to say that this is my son. Continues the Gemara. Testayim. So, as we said earlier, Chazal knew that one of these incidents happened with Rebbe, and one of these incidents happened with Rebchia. Says the Gemara, Testayim, the Rebbe held Ben Api Aviv Lakuna. The incident between the father and the son was by Rebbe, the Tanya. If someone comes and says, this is my son who's a kohen, nemel achila betruma, he's to be trusted that the son can eat truma, ve'ena nemel asiisha, but he can't be considered trusted that the son can marry a woman. Again, we have a machlokes Rashi and Tosfos, which we have quoted earlier. Rashi says we have to be concerned that this child may be a nosin or a mamzer, and he's not a kosher yichas. Tosfos explains that the concern is that he may not be allowed to be marrying a kohen, his wife, he may not be considered a kohen, and he would disqualify the woman if he were a cholol. Amar Rav Chiya, so Rav Chiya asks to Rebbe, if you trust him, that he is a kohen, and you're allowing the son to eat truma based on that. Tamina lasiyishai. So then you should also be able to trust him that he should be considered a full-fledged kohen. If on the other hand, vim iat tamina lasiyishai, you don't trust him that much. Like tamina lecha betruma, don't trust him for this either. And as the Mefarshim explained, the Ramban asked the question. We've been learning. We learned this yesterday, sugya, that Chazal did differentiate in the Namonis, and they did trust somebody sometimes regarding Truma and not regarding full-fledged Yichus. So what's Rav Chiya's question? So the Ramban answers that Rav Chiya obviously holds that if you hold that an Eid Echod is Nemon, is trusted, he should be trusted all the way. And if he's not trusted, he should not be trusted. Or, simpler said by other Rishonim, this is what Rav Chiya is actually saying. This dichotomy that the Gemara has attempted to make between Truma and Yichus is something that Rav Chiya doesn't accept. And responds Rebbe, Amaloi, Ani maminoi lachil betruma. I trust him regarding Truma. Shebiyadei lachil truma. It's in the father's power to give him Truma to eat. The father is certainly a kohen. People give him Truma. And then he could give this Truma to son. Therefore, since he has this power, we trust him. However, says Rabbi, I don't trust him regarding his Yichus. It's not in his power to make the determination solely, and that a woman who has no problem with her Yichus should be able to marry him. Ask Tosfos, if we're explaining now that the basis for Rebbe accepting the testimony for Truma is because he can give him Truma to eat, because he does get Truma to father, ask Tosfos, so that should only last as long as the father is alive. Once the father passes away, and he isn't receiving Truma that he could share with his son, the son should not be allowed to eat Truma anymore. Answers Tosfos, that once the son was muchsik, once when the son was established that he's eating Truma, that chazaka continues even after the father passes away. Tosfos also asks that why isn't the father believed, as we're explaining now, the problem with the father, the problem is because he's related. Why don't we believe him with a migui? He could have said, I'm not related, and if I'm not related, he would be believed. Therefore, he should be believed even when he says that it's a father, but believe me that he's a kohen. So Taisha says that that's not considered a migui. And the way the Mefarshim explain Taisha's answer is as follows. A migui means that somebody set forth a certain claim, and he could have said a better claim. But here, it's not a situation that we want him to say a better claim. We want him to be somebody who he isn't. Instead of saying, I'm his father, he could have said, I'm not his father. But he is his father. That's not what migui is all about. So to Stein, we've proven that the story of a father and son was Rebbe and not Reb Chiya. Says the Gemara, by process of elimination, Umid the Rebbe hel ben api aviv lakuna. If it was Rebbe who determined that the son was a kohen based on his father's testimony, the other incident of the brothers must have been Reb Chiya who was hel ach api achel levia. It was Reb Chiya that decided that one brother is a Levi based on the testimony of the other brother. Ask the Gemara, Rav Chiya, Maishna ben Deloy, why is a son not accepted? Why can't we accept the testimony of a father? As we've been explaining, the Korf who waits a love of, because it's his father, it's his relative. If so, Och Nami Korf waits a love of, they're brothers. How do we accept the testimony? Answers the Gemara, Mimsich Lefitumai. Rav Chiya is referring to a situation where it's not that the brother explicitly came in and said testimony, this is my brother and he's a Levi. That testimony would not be accepted. It's referring to a situation where he was Mesich Lefitumai, and Mesich Lefitumai is trusted. So as Tosfos explains, now according to this answer, there's no reason anymore to differentiate and say that Rebbe was the one that spoke about the father and Reb Chiya was the one that spoke about the brother. Because Rav Chiya is now explaining that the reason the brother is believed is because it's a situation of Mesiach Lefitumai, So then the same would be by a father, that the father would be believed in a situation of Masech Lefitumai. The only reason the Gemara prefers to attribute to Rebbe the ruling of the situation of father and the son, because it corresponds to what Rebbe said in the Braisa, that we had that debate between Rebbe and Reb Chiya about a father and a son. Where do we see, says the Gemara, that we accept a Masech Lefitumai? There was a person who was Masech Lefitumai, and he said, Zchroni, I recall, when I was young, I was a child, young enough, that was riding on my father's shoulder, and they took me out of yeshiva, they took off my clothing, and they took me to the mikveh in order lachal truma ba'erev, in order to be able to eat truma. And as the Mefarshim explained, the Rivash explains, this whole story is coming to say that there was a situation of Messiah Lefitumai, and therefore he had to add all of these details, why, what happened, because if we were not to add the details, it would not be a situation of Messiah Lefitumai. And he says, with Tziuni Mibesa Sefer, so as Tosfos explains, because there is a concern that maybe he was the Eved of a Kohen, that we know the halach is that the Eved of a Kohen is also allowed to eat truma. So the fact that he said v'tziuni b'beis ha-sefer, that means he was in yeshiva learning Torah. Avadim don't go to yeshiva to learn Torah. It was only the children. So that's a proof that he wasn't ever, that he was a child. Why did they have to take him to the mikveh? So we have a machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi says because children typically play in the dirt, and in the dirt there are shlotzim, and he might have become tamei with the sheretz, and therefore he had to go to the mikveh and have shemesh, and then he could eat truma. Other rishonim explain because a child is hugged by his mother, and if his mother is a nida, she would make the child tamei, and therefore he had to be taken to the mikveh to make sure he wasn't tamei. Interestingly, I saw from the Sharmat Tzion Ba'alokha, what would be a nafgamina between these two pshatim of the rishonim? Nafgamina would be if a child, if one could read Krishma in front of a child. According to the concern that he's tummy because his mother, who's Anida, hugged him, that doesn't make him dirty, that one would not be allowed to read Krishma in his presence. However, according to the concern that he was dirty, so one should be careful not to read Krishma in front of a child until we know for sure that the child is not dirty, doesn't have any tzoy on his body. Rav Chiya Saimba, Rav Chiya continued what the man said. V'chaveri b'dilim imeni, my friends kept away from me. V'yikarnis yoichanon chachalas, they would call me yoichan, the person eats chala makoyin. And the Beis Yaakov explains why is this an important part of the story. So he explains because until now everything he said was based on what his father did. And as we learned at the beginning of the shir, certainly according to Reb Chiya, a father is not necessarily believed for his son. What was important for him to mention was that it was my friends that also called me a Kohen. So he's not basing his Masech Lefitumai testimony strictly on his father's actions, and that's why he was believed. And says the Gemara, the Halu Rebbe Lekun Alpiv, and Rebbe, based on this Masech Lefitumai testimony, consider him a Kohen. Machlokes Rishonim, how far this is effective. Some Rishonim say Masech Lefitumai allows him to even eat Truma Daraisa. Other Rishonim suggest that it only allows him to eat Truma Darabonon, not Truma Daraisa. Tanya, says the Gemara Braisa, Shimon ben Lazar Omer, Shem Shetruma Chazak Lekuna, just like somebody eating truma is a proof that he's a Kohen, Kach Maiserishin Chazak Lekuna, so too is Maiserishin a proof that he's a Kohen. And he makes another statement, V'choylek v'bezden ena chazaka, but somebody who divides truma under the Bezden's auspices, it's not a chazaka. And we will now explain this Braisa. Ask the Gemara, the Braisa says that somebody eating Maiserishin is a proof that he's a Kohen, ask the Gemara, Mais Rishon the Levihu. Mais Rishon belonged to the Levium, not to the Kohanim. So how is this a proof that he's a Kohen? So before we begin the Gemara, we need to say a word of introduction, which is based on the way Tosfos explains the Gemara. As we said in the previous year, when Ezra brought Klal Yisrael up to Eretz Yisrael, there was a very small population that joined him, only 40,000 people. One of the groups of people that totally did not join with Ezra were the Levim. And therefore, Ezra punished them regarding their receiving Maaser Rishon. And we have a machloikis, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and Rabbi Akiva, exactly what the history was. According to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, it was always the right of both Kohanim and Levim to receive Maaser Rishon. And now when Ezra punished the Levim, he gave this right solely to the Kohanim. According to Rabbi Akiva, it was originally just the rights of the Levim to eat Maaser Rishon, and now what Ezra did was that he included that even the Kohanim may receive Maaser Rishon. And the Mefarshim discuss, based on how could Rabbi Akiva, according to Rabbi Akiva's understanding, how could Chazal on a permanent basis go and include Kohanim to be allowed to eat Maaser Rishon if they're not the people that the Torah gave this Maaser to? For even if we will explain, many Mefarshim explain that there's a Hefker Bezdin Hefker concept, can Hefker Bezdin Hefker accomplish that forever something goes to a group of people who the Torah did not give this to? So the Michas Chinuch says that in the time of Ezra, the Chiyuv of Maaser Rishon was only Midrabbanon, and therefore the Rabbanon had a right to determine who should receive that Maaser Rishon. Other Mefarshim explain that when the Torah gave Maaser Rishon to the Levim, it's not just as a gift that the Torah said, we're giving the Levim a gift, Maaser Rishon. What the Torah actually meant to do is to pay them. The Levim do avoid in the Beis HaMikdash, and their salary is the Maaser Rishon. But as we explained, the Levim did not come to Eretz Yisrael, so they weren't doing any avoid in the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore they were not entitled to Maaser Rishon as a salary. And who does receive the salary? The people who do the avodah. Who are those people? The Kohanim. So now the Gemara says, how do we know that Maaser Rishon is a proof that one is a Kohen? Because it's going according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, who explained to Tanya, Truma L'Kohen, Maaser Rishon L'Levi. That was the original Takana, Divrei Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says that originally Maaser Rishon was also given Aflakayan, and after the Knas, it was given only to the Kohanim. So now the Gemara is saying that if somebody eats Maaser Rishon, it's a proof that he's a Kohen. Ask the Gemara, Ein Madam Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, what did Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah say? Aflakayan, Lakayan Veloyla Levi Miyaman, did he say that the Levi are excluded? Says the Gemara, In, Boss the Consider Ezra, after Ezra, find the Levium, they are not entitled at all to Maaser. Ask the Gemara, V'dilma ikra v'yavalei, and as the Miri explains the Gemara's question. Since Midaraisa, the Levium are certainly entitled to the Maaser Rishon. So what would be the case if one has Maaser Rishon, and there is no Kohen available? So we'll give that Maaser Rishon to the Levi. So why the fact that somebody received Maaser Rishon, is it a full-fledged proof that he's a Kohen? Amar Rav Chisda, Hachem Maiskinen, we're dealing with the following situation. Kegoyin de Muchzuk Lam Bavur Dahai de Kohen Hu. We know for sure that this person's father is a Kohen. V'nafikalei, call it, but there's a rumor swirling around about him, that he's a Ben Grusha Ben Chalutzahu, that he's a Cholo. V'chalkal al-adei Mais Beis Agronis. But we saw that he received Mais in the Beis Agronis. Levi, there is no concern that he's a Levi. We know the Lav Levi who, that he's not a Levi. Michael Amemer, what is the only concern that we have? The Ben Gerusha Ben Chalutzahu, that he may be a Ben Gerusha Ben Chalutzah. But the fact that he received the Meiser is a proof that he's a full-fledged Kohen. And says the Minchas Chinuch and Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, both say based on this Gemara, that we see that a Apostle Kohen, a disqualified Kohen, is not a Levi. A disqualified Kohen is not is not a Levi, nor is he a Kohen. And as Rabbi Chanan explains, we Kohanim should not be looked at as some sort of super Levim, because they do come from the Shevet Levi, just with some extra status. What it is that there are two groups. There's a group called Levi, and there's a group called Kohen. A Levi he's not, because he's a Kohen. And a Kohen he's not if he's disqualified. So the fact that we gave him the Maaser Rishon is a proof that he was a kosher Kohen. And says the Gemara, Loim b'ayil man dam Maaser Rishon asur l'zorim. Certainly according to man the Omer that holds that Zorim, that Yisraelim, or Posel Kahanim, who are the same as Yisraelim, are not allowed to eat Maaser Rishon, certainly we would not have given him Maaser Rishon. Ela filaman da amma Maaser Rishon mutar lazarim, even according to Mandama, the Maaser Rishon may be eaten by Yisraelim. Hani mili lemispik lahu, that's only we're going to give him to eat. Avel betaris chaluka, to distribute Maaser to him in the formal way at the Gronos. Lo yavale, that certainly we would not give him in a formal manner. So the fact that he did receive it in a formal manner is a full-fledged proof that he was a Kohen. As the Chassam Sofer, according to the man the Omer, that Zorim are not allowed to eat Maaser Rishon, and according to Bekiva, who we just finished explaining before, held the Midaraisa Kohanim are not allowed to, that Kohanim were not in the original group of people that the Torah gave Maaser Rishon to. Asks Chassam Sofer, so a Kohen, as far as Maaser Rishon is concerned, is a Zor. And if there's an Isser, according to a Meir, for a Zor to eat Maaser, there's an Isser for a Kohen to eat Maaser. It's a Chiev Lav. If there's a Chiev Lav, how could the Rabbonon, even if they want to make changes, tell a person who has a Chiev Lav to eat something that he's going now to receive it? Answers the Chassam Sofer. According to the man the Omer, that says a Zor is not allowed to eat Maaser Rishon, where do we know this from? Because the Torah says, the Torah makes a hekesh between Truma and Maaser. That by Maaser, that by Truma the Halach is a Zor is not allowed to eat it, so too, Maaser, a Zor, may not eat it. But a truma is allowed to be eaten by a Kohen. Actually, that's the only person that's allowed to eat truma. So we can't use this pasuk to teach us that a Kohen may not eat Maaser, if that pasuk is coming to teach us what a Kohen and only a Kohen may eat. In other words, even the man the Omer that holds that Maaser Rishon is osur lezorim, it certainly is not osur lekahanim. The chaylik bebezdin, the next line of the Gemara, of the Braisa, was that if somebody receives truma in Bezdin, ain't a chazaka. That's not considered a chazaka, that we should consider him a Kohen. Ask the Gemara, even Bezdin lo have a chazaka. If in a Bezdin that's not considered a chazaka, heicha have a chazaka, isn't the Bezdin the best place? Amar of Sheishas, hachikama. The situation is as follows. Hachoyle truma benichse oviv im echo bebezdin, ain't a chazaka. There was a father who was certainly a Kohen, who passed away and left an estate. And in the estate, there was truma. And this brother, who's in question, is he or is he not a Kohen, received a share of that truma. And says the Gemara, his receiving a share of truma from the inheritance of his father, Eina Chazaka, does not prove that he is a Kohen. Says the Gemara, pshit, of course not. He's getting it as a Yoyrish. He's not getting it as a Kohen. Answers the Gemara, the other brothers who are getting the truma are getting it, and they themselves will be allowed to eat it because they are certainly Kohanim. So hai nami lachila, he too should, when he's getting it, it should be proof that he's getting it to eat. Kamashmon, Hanoch Lachila. The other brothers are getting it and they will eat it. For Hai, he's going to be getting a share of the Truma, but all he'll be able to do with it is Lizbune, he'll be able to sell it, but he won't be able to eat it. And as the Ritva explains the Gemara, certainly, if the father left over a large inheritance, and there are brothers who cannot eat Truma, and the other brothers who cannot eat Truma, will give the brother who cannot eat Truma different portions, something that he could eat. Here, however, we're referring to a situation where there was a lot of Truma left over, and not that much of else. So there wasn't anything else to give him, that's why we give him Truma, but it isn't a proof that he's a full-fledged Kohen. In fact, Reb Baruch Tam says La Loch Lemaisa, based on this Gemara, that if we have a situation where a father passed away, and he left over an estate, and part of what he left over could be eaten by some brothers, and there's some part that can't be eaten by other brothers, or a situation is, let's say the father was a non-Jew, and he has children who are Jewish, and he has children who are not Jewish. He was married to Jewish women and non-Jewish women, and he left over Avodah Zarah. We should be careful to give the Avodah Zarah to the Goyim, and the non-Avodah Zarah items to the Jews. When we learned the Mishnah, Daf Chaf Gimel Amud Beis, the Mishnah discussed about two people saying somebody is, how we could determine if somebody is a Kohen. The Tanakhama said an Eid Echad is Neman. Rabbi Yehuda said we need two Eidim. Then we had Rabbi Lazar had another opinion that it depends if there are Oirim. And then Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel said Malakuna Pi Eid Echad. Ask the Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda Aimer Eimal, so as the Gemara quotes, Rabbi Yehuda Aimer Eimal Kuna Pi Eid Echad. Ask the Gemara of Shimon Gamliel and Rabbi Lazar. Aren't Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and Rabbi Lazar saying one and the same thing? And as the Ramban explains, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and the Tanakhama certainly are disagreeing. Because as we explained in the Gemara and Daf Chaf Dalet, the Tanakhama is not concerned about Goimlin. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and Rabbi Lazar are concerned about Goyimlin. So now the Gemara's question is, so what is the difference between Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and Rabbi Lazar? Says the Gemara, V'chi taima irachadik benayu. The difference is when there's only one person challenging this person, Chazaka. Rabbi Lazar sava irachad, that the challenge of one person is considered a full-fledged challenge. Rishim ben Gamliel saw iritrei, that you have to have two people. And as Rabbi Nachum explains, no one considers an error of one aid to be considered hilchas aidus. The question is that considered an error? And what the Gemara is learning now is that Rabbi Lezer will hold, and this is the way that Rishonim explained the Gemara, that even the error of one person is legitimate, that it should call in question this person's kuna. And on the other hand, Rishon Gamliel holds that we have to have two people to call into question his kuna. Says the Gemara, El Hachel Ma'iskin. Ask the Gemara, Va'om Rabbi Yochanan, Devei Hakol En Ir Pach Mishnayim. And as Tosfos explains, the statement Rabbi Yochanan made was regarding our Mishnah. And our Mishnah, the halachi of Irur, says Rabbi Yochanan, is only when we have two people. Says the Gemara, El Hachem Ma'iskinen, B'muchzik Lam Bavu Dahai D'Koinu. We know for sure that this father's person was a Kohen. However, V'nafak Alekala, there is a call, the Ben Gerusha or Ben Chalutzuhu, that there's a disqualification with this person. And therefore, V'atinu, we demoted him from the kahuna, we're not letting him be a kohen. So most Rishonim explain that, that's the way the Rashba explains, that as soon as this child was born, there was right away a rumor about him that perhaps he's not a kohen, and therefore Rashi goes on to explain, we put him into a holding pattern, and we wait to see if we could identify if he is or is not a kohen, if he is or is not a kohen. Ve'asa eid echad, and then an eid echad came. Ve'am yadana be'ed kohen hu. I know for sure that he's a kosher kohen. once that eight echad said that, v'sakninu, so we accept that testimony, and we can make him a kohen. Now v'os betray, now another two witnesses come, v'amri ben grusha ben chalutzahu, and they say, no, he's a ben grusha ben chalutzah, he's posel. Then v'os echad, and now another eight echad comes, a second eight echad comes, v'amri yudan be the kohen hu, I know that he is a kohen. So before we go further, the Rishonim ask a simple question. Why don't we explain that the Gemara is arguing what is the power of a koil? And that Tanna Kamma, Rav Elazar holds that a koil can disqualify him, and Rav Shimon Gamliel holds that a koil cannot disqualify him. Why do we have to have this complicated story? So Rishonim answer that the Mishnah uses the word the Yotzel of Oirin. Oirin is not considered a kol. A kol and arim are not a kol. Another teretz is that if we have eid echot and chazaka, there certainly a kol is meaningless, and therefore that would not be even a havamina that anybody would recognize that kol. Udukulam, so again, what was the situation? The child was born, and from when he was born there was a rumor that he's a disqualified kohen. And because of that, we did not declare him to be a kohen. Then an eid echad came and said that he is a kohen. Then two eidim came and said that he is not kosher. And now another eid came and said that he is kosher. Says the Gemara, the kulam mitzdarfel eidus. Everybody agrees that we combine the two eid echads, even though they didn't come at the same time. What is the concern here? The concern here is for hocha b'meichesh l'zivlusa b'edina k'mefgi. We're concerned about the honor of the bezdin. Tanaka m'savar Rabbi Elazar holds kim dechsinu. Once the court demoted him, lemaskinenle. We can't elevate him again. Why? Because chashinen l'zivlusa b'edina. We're concerned about the honor of the bezdin. For Shimon Gamliel summer anan achsinenle v'anan maskinenle. It's the Bezdin that demoted him, and the Bezdin that elevated him. We're not concerned about Zlusa the Beidina. Ask the Rishonim, if we're concerned about Zlusa the Beidina, so why are we only concerned after the second Eid Echad came? We should have been concerned immediately. So Rashi says, we're only concerned about Zlusa the Beidina after two times. So here, Bezdin once demoted him, elevated him, demoted him again. That's when Zalus de Beidina is a concern. After one psak, we're not concerned about Zalus de Beidina. Another teretz that the Rishonim give is that Zalus de Beidina is even after one time. However, the first time that he was demoted, he was only demoted because of a kol. Now he was demoted, and therefore we could elevate him. The second time he was demoted because of two Edom. When two Edom said something, and Bezdin accepted their testimony, then we have a concern of Zelusa the Beidina. The Mefarshim also ask that we know that we don't rely on Chazaka when we have a treyu trey. So here we have two Edom saying that he's kosher. We have two Edom that's saying that he's not kosher. So how could Shem Gamliel rely on the Chazaka? There's actually a machlokes what the Chazaka is. Is it the Chazaka, his own Chazaka, that he has a cheskes kashrus? Or is it the Chazaka because his father is a kohen, so we have a Chazaka if his father is a kohen, he must be a kohen, and rely on that Chazaka to consider him a kohen when we have a trey utrey? So the Ritva says this, that we don't rely on Chazaka by trey utrey is only when we're trying to be mitzi mamon, we're trying to change the status quo. Here we're actually trying to keep the status quo, and therefore we can rely on the Chazaka. Other Rishonim say that we're referring to Truma Drabonon, and therefore we could be Makel and rely on a Chazaka. Reb Nochem asks a question. According to Reb Elazar, especially according to what we just explained, we have a Chazaka. So even though we have a Trey Utrey, he should be considered a Kohen. What is Reb Elazar concerned about? Rabbi Lazar is concerned about Zelus de Beidina. So how could Zelus de Beidina be so strong that a person who halachically is probably a kohen should be treated as a non-kohen, and he'll go be metame, he'll go to Levaya, he's a kohen. So says Rabbi Nochem, that even according to a Lazar who's being machmer and not treating him as a kohen, it's only as so far, says Rabbi Nochem, that we should treat him as a non-kohen l'chumra. But l'chumra, we will also treat him as a kohen. And therefore, he will have to have all the chumras of the kohen, but none of the benefits, none of the privileges of a kohen. Ask the Gemara, Maskula Rav Ashi, Yoch Afilu Trei V'Trei Nami. Even in a case where two Edom said that he was, a kohen, after two Edom said that he was not a kohen, it should not be accepted. So why do we have to explain the Mishnah with a case of one Ed, two Edom, one Ed? We could have explained it simpler. Answers the Gemara, Elam Rav Ashi, Mitzdan from Edus Kmitzki. The Shaila here is if two Ed Echods can combine. And what is the Shaila? Well, pluk the Dani Tanoi. The Tanya, Ein Edusu Mitzdanfis, the testimony of two witnesses cannot be combined. Ad Shiyu Shneim Kechod. Until they both see, they testify that they saw the same event. Meshuvin Karchaima, Afilu Bezachazer. Even if they testify about different events, one that took place at a different time, they can combine. And as the Gemara Masechet Sanhedrin explains, since the two reasons to explain the position that holds Ad Shiyur Shneim Ke'echad, one is because the Pasuk says V'hu Eid Oyro Oyada. When the Torah speaks about two Eidim, it uses a Lashon Yachid V'hu Eid Oyro Oyada. Why is the Torah using a Lashon Yachid when we're speaking about two Eidim to teach us that they have to see the same story? Or the reason is because we're concerned that they're not speaking about the same testimony, and if they're not speaking about the same story, we don't have to aid them to one each of these episodes. Say, and how do we explain the other? How do we explain Rabbi Shuman Karcha's opinion? Say to Mefarshim, the way we explain his opinion is because Rabbi Shuman Karcha says they're both agreeing that Reuven owes Shimon money. So even if they can't actually testify that they saw the exact same story, at the end of the day, they're testifying that Reuven owes Shimon money, and that's why their Eidos can combine. There's another machlokes in the Braisa. Veinus dusam is kayemus bebezdin. Their Eidos cannot stand in bezdin. Ach yidush neim kechad. Until they say testimony together. Rav Nosson Eimer, Shoyim Devarav Shalzah Yoyim, we can listen to one testimony today, Ukshiyov Aver Lemachar, and when the next witness comes tomorrow, Shoyim Devarav, we can listen to what he says. So we see that we can combine the testimonies. And that's exactly the same machlokes of Rav Elazar and Shimon. Rav Elazar holds, like the Rabbanon, that we cannot combine testimonies that are not set together, whereas Rav Shimon Gamliel holds like Rav Nosson, we can. What is the machlokes if we can combine testimonies that are not said together? So some of Farshim explain that this opinion agrees with the opinion of the Tanakhama and the previous machlokes, that ein in the Rusum it's the Refes, Ach Yirush Neim Kechot, and this Tana compares the Haggadah to the Riyah. Just like the Riyah, the actual seeing has to be together, so too the Haggadah has to be at the same way. Another pshat that I saw is that if an Eid Echad comes and says something, so we know that an Eid Echad doesn't have so much power, but he does have power to be Mechayiv Shvua. So if an Eid Echad came and he said something, he was Mechayiv Shvua. That then Torah is over. Now the other Eid Echad comes, he's just a separate Eid Echad and starting a new Din Torah, and therefore his second testimony cannot combine with the earlier testimony, and that's why it's not miskayemis when the two Eidos, according to this opinion, are not set together, which we're saying is the opinion of Rabbi Elazar. Rav Shimon Gamliel, on the other hand, holds like Rav Nosson that the two Eidos do not have to be set at the same time, and they can combine, and therefore we'll have a tray with tray and rely on the Chazaka coin of Shimon Gamliel to be able to consider this person in question a full-fledged kohen.